Take your Bibles, please. Find the book of Genesis.
Before Psalms.
Genesis chapter number 32. Go toward the end of the chapter. We'll start reading in verse 24. And please join me on all of the odd-numbered verses once again this evening. Genesis 32. We'll close out the chapter from verse 24 to 32. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince that hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank.
Keep your Bibles open to Genesis 32. Let me start by saying this, and I'll explain. You may hold a different opinion about this than I. You may. I'll just be right. You'll be wrong. No, but I'll give you an opinion here at the beginning. Jacob has never been one of my favorite people in the Bible. He was a soup-stirring mama's boy. Here's a boy that'd rather be home cooking than going out hunting. Anytime there was problems, he'd run crying to mama and say, "Mama, help me out of this," and mama would do it. He was also a trickster, a deceiver. When it came time for his father to give the blessing on the family, Jacob's brother Esau should have gotten the blessing, but Isaac wanted some fresh venison, my kind of man. And Esau went out hunting. While he was out hunting, Jacob's mommy had Jacob kill a goat. By the way, a goat and a deer are in the same family and virtually taste the same. And she was able to make that, and they took the hair from the goat and put on Jacob's arms and his neck, because Esau was hairy and Jacob was a mama's boy. I mean, slick. Had no hair. Let me say this. He went and deceived his dad and got the blessing that Esau was supposed to get. Now, remember earlier, Jacob tricked Esau into selling the birthright for a bowl of soup. But after that, he tricked Esau out of the blessing from his father. That caused Esau to get angry enough, and his mommy said, "You better get out of town or your brother's going to kill you." So Jacob left. As you know, he went to the house of Laban, worked for 7 years for one of Laban's daughters, married her, and then on his wedding night found out he got his sister and not the one he was looking for. Had to work 7 more years to get the one that he wanted, and then had to work. She must have been some good-looking woman for him to work 14 years for, let me tell you. Or the first one was that ugly, I don't know. But either way, Jacob spends over 20 years away. Jacob is tricking his father-in-law. all along. Jacob is going back, and he knows he must face his brother. He's going back home. Here's what you don't understand. What's he going to face? Is his brother going to kill him? Is his brother going to accept an apology? I'm sure there's somebody in this room, it's been years or tens of years since you've been in a fuss with somebody in your family and haven't talked to them since. They're both married. They both have families. What's going to take place? Jacob begins to travel, and as he gets closer, as you read the book of Genesis here, and I'll explain it to you, don't try to read it now, Jacob situates himself to the back of the caravan. He puts all the women and the children and the gifts that he's bringing for his brother up front, and he's traveling at the back. You say, why? In case his brother's mad, he might get a chance to get away. Well, they get to where they have to cross the river to get home. And he sends everybody across and says, I'll meet you over in the morning. He decides it's time to pray. I think it's a little late, wouldn't you? But Jacob has prepared a huge gift for his brother. He's going to try to apologize and make 20 years and a whole lot of other things right. And let me say, a gift is a cheap way to try to right something. You don't make something right just because you give something. You make something right because you have the right attitude and the right spirit. The relationship is far better than the gift. But the family goes across, and he stays there, and he goes to sleep that night, and he's awakened, and he's asking God, God, am I going to live? Show me if I'm going to live or not. Some would say it was Jesus. I don't believe so. I believe it was an angel from God that came down. And Jacob grabs a hold of him, and they start wrestling. And he said, tell me from God whether I'm going to live or not. And they begin to wrestle and wrestle. And the Bible says it was about to be the breaking of day. And the angel needed to be back and not be in the daylight for whatever reason. Does not matter. And Jacob says, I'm not letting you go. And the Bible says that that angel touched the hollow of his thigh to where the sinew shrank. And his thigh, his hip was out of joint. If you've never had hip pain, you don't quite understand that. When that comes out, life gets exciting. And yet, Jacob held on. And he said, I'm not letting you go till I get a blessing from God and assurance I'm going to live. That angel looked at Jacob and said, what's your name? And he said, my name is Jacob. He said, you'll no more be called Jacob. God wants your name to be Israel. That sounds like such a trite thing. Changing his name. That changing of the name was the beginning of the nation of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. That meant the name of Jacob would live on as Israel. That was Jacob's sign, in air quotes, that he was going to live through this. Now, I will say this, though I don't particularly like Jacob. There's something about him here that I admire. Yeah. Jacob didn't let go till he got what he needed. Say what you want, but Jacob didn't let go till he got the blessing that he needed. Wonder how many people would have let go. Wonder how many people would have given up. Wonder how many people would have not suffered just because they wanted something so badly. Jacob is hurt. Jacob is hurting badly. He's tired. He's been up most of the night. You don't understand. Wrestling with somebody for just a couple minutes is exhausting. Wrestling with them for maybe hours is unbelievable. Add to that, he's frightened to meet his brother, but he still didn't let go of the angel. Jacob got the blessing that he wanted so badly. Now, the whole point of the truth is this. Jacob was afraid his brother would kill him, and he wanted assurance that Esau would let him live. God gave his answer by changing his name, and that meant Jacob would live in this meeting. Though he's not one of my favorite people, I admire his tenacity to get what he wanted. We live in such a day where people give up way too easy. We live in a day where, well, I don't want to do that. It might exhaust me. Well, I don't want to do that. I'd rather stay home where it's comfortable. Well, who wouldn't? You can't get people to show up to work anymore. My daughter was telling me, she heard this story just the other day. This young lady went to get a job, and it was a 9-to-5 job. Came 11 o'clock, and the boss called and said, "Where are you?" She said, "Well, I didn't have a ride. I've got to wait on my mom. My mom's my ride." She said, "You were supposed to be here at 9 o'clock. She said, "No, you said it was 9 to 5. I figured any time I showed up between there, I was okay." True story. That is the mentality of this generation. She said, "Don't bother showing up anymore." Now, they better be glad they didn't have my dad. Every time I got a job, he went and told the boss, "If I don't work, fire me." I didn't like that, but I showed up to work and I worked hard. Now, no matter the cost, Jacob held on. It cost Jacob a lot to get this blessing. And though he's not one of my favorite people, I admire the fact he stayed there until he got from God what he needed. He held on in spite of the pain. He held on in spite of the fear. He held on in spite of being tired. He held on in spite of not knowing whether he would live or die. There's some things I believe that we need to look at in this to help us tonight. Number one, Jacob's blessing came at a time of great distress. I'm going to make a statement here you might not like. But usually the greatest blessings come when things aren't going real well. Amen. Usually when things are going the toughest, we get the great blessings. That's right. It's not when everything's going easy. Mm-hmm. Say why? You don't need a blessing then. It's when things are getting stressful. It's when you don't know how to take the next step. That's when the great blessings from God come. Look at how many in the events in the Bible came at a time of distress. Noah. Think through that one once. How about David with Goliath? David's a 17-year-old boy, pretty cocky, but you go face a 9.5, 10-foot-tall dude. I imagine there was a bit of fear. Did he trust God? Yeah, and he was hoping Goliath's sword was real sharp in case God didn't deliver. What about Job? How about Gideon? How'd you like to face 150,000 people with 300 people? You got to go fight a war, 300 versus 150,000. That's not real good, or 450,000. I don't remember how many. It was real bad. And may I say something here? What about Esther? Though there's not much in the story of Esther I like, she held on. I think the unsung hero of the book of Esther is Vashti. She's the one that was married to the king that was a creep. She took the stand. Esther entered a beauty contest to take him on as a husband. God used it, in spite of how unwise it was. Everybody doing okay? How about Calvary? Did you realize that Calvary was not a time of ease for our Savior? So it may be that the greatest blessings come in times of distress. How about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? How'd you like to get thrown into a fiery furnace? How about Daniel in a lion's den? You want to go into a den full of hungry lions? Not me. It may be that those great blessings came at the times where they were needed most. I realize there's an exception to this per se, but it doesn't rain when it's sunshiny. It rains when there's clouds. The dark clouds have to bring the rain that brings the prosperity. All sunshine makes a desert. Listen to this next statement. How the distress comes does not matter. Everybody look at me for a second. Do you realize that most all of Jacob's stress was put upon him by himself? Self-inflicted. He tricked his brother twice. He tricked his father-in-law many times. He tricked his dad. He ran away when the problems came. Almost every problem Jacob faced was self-inflicted, and he said, God, I'm not letting go this time. Well, that was their fault, preacher. God shouldn't bless them. Show me in the scripture where that's true. It doesn't matter if it's a self-inflicted wound. If you shoot yourself in the foot like Barney Fife, or somebody else shoots you, did you know at the hospital you get the same treatment? Doesn't matter how you got the wound. And in God's economy, it doesn't matter if it's self-inflicted or not. Why do we want to judge somebody as to why this came about? I'm so sick and tired of people. Well, why did this happen? Who cares? It happened. Does it really matter? Does it change the situation at all if you knew why? No. So maybe we shouldn't ask why. Let's just figure out how to fix it. Whether it's forced upon you or whether it's self-inflicted, it's the same pain. The reason for the distress is not the issue. It's the distress itself that can bring the blessing. Some of you have self-inflicted distress in your life. Some of you lived a wild life before you got saved. Some of you lived it after you got saved. Some of you might still be living it. But may I say this, it doesn't matter whether it's before, during, or after. The distress is real no matter what. Boy, that's good stuff. Some of the distress can be long-lasting. Look at verse number 32. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day. Did you know that the Jews will not eat certain cuts of meat because of that very thing that happened to Jacob? That's fine. Save it for me. I'll eat it. The reason for it is not the issue. But some of that distress, did you realize his leg being, his thigh out of joint, in that sinew shrinking, he didn't recover from that fully. Not quite 2 years ago, I had the accident with my foot in the tree stand. The doctor looked at my wife and I, and she made this statement to me in the emergency room in Winchester. She said, "Pastor, this is going to be a life-altering injury." I've been hurt before. No problem. Let's push through this. Well, it's been 2 years, and a lot of things have changed. And there's not going to be much better on the horizon. It's not going to get any better than it is. And she was right. It's life-altering. My wife just said the other day, "I really didn't think it was going to be this bad for you." Neither did I. But it is. Okay, so be it. There's things about it I don't like. There's times where standing is hard. Brother Kevin laughs at me every Monday and Thursday. "Preacher, your foot was hurting real bad last night, wasn't it?" "How do you know? I watched you back there dancing with your foot." Yeah, it happens. I can't help it. But guess what? I ain't giving up. The key to getting a blessing while in distress is hanging on and not letting go. I wonder how many times we've missed the blessing and is all we did to suffer. Because we didn't hang on long enough to get to the blessing. Jacob did not let go. Jacob was tired. Jacob was hurting. Jacob was in distress. But Jacob did not let go. And he said, "I'm not letting go until I get the blessing from God." He held on at all costs. And by the way, there's a price to pay for a great blessing. That blessing comes by great distress. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. It's called having a child. You have to go through great distress to get to what you really wanted. Your hormones go out of whack. You get pregnant. Your belly looks like you swallowed a watermelon. The last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, you can't sleep. If you lay on your side, you fall over. If you lay on your stomach, you rock like the rocker on a chair. If you sleep on your back, you're like a turtle and can't get up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then you got to go through all the pain of hatching that puppy. And yet you say, "Oh, it was worth it all." Ain't no man in the world built for that. Mm-mm. Number one, no man's going to have a baby. Number two, there ain't no man that would have had it more than one. Because a man ain't going to go through that kind of pain twice. We got better sense than that. But can I tell you something? The distress is not over. You got to rear that little puppy. You got 18 more years of that thing talking back to you. You think you got it, and then they turn 12 or 13 and their brain falls out their ear, and it's like having a 2- and a 3-year-old again, just with a bigger body and a much larger appetite. Now, wait a second. I say all that to say this. Yet children can be a great blessing. But you have to go through the distress to get there. We're willing to put up with some distress. That's why some in the animal world, some mothers eat their own young. They don't want to put up with it. Whereas my father used to say, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Remember, it's that great distress that brings great blessing. Number two. I love you. Look at me. This one's going to hurt a little. Blessings often cause you to have to get right with others. Jacob had to get right with his brother. God giving him that blessing was conditional on him getting right with his brother. Because in just a few hours, he's going to meet his brother. I can promise you one thing. There's not a lot about me that's worth a whole lot, nor probably admirable. But I can tell you one thing. There's not a person in this world that I have any bitterness towards. I can lay my head on my pillow every night and go to sleep knowing I'm not at odds with anybody. Now, I have people that are at odds with me that don't like me for some reason. I don't understand. To know me is to like me. But I can't control how they feel. But I can tell you this. I'm not bitter towards anybody. My worst enemy, I would help. They're the ones that are bitter, not me. I can forgive them without them ever forgiving me. Forgiveness is not for the one that did wrong. Forgiveness is for the one who was wronged. God did not do any wrong, did he? My Bible says in Romans, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ forgave us. Wait a minute. If God didn't do wrong, why does he have to do the forgiving? He has to do the forgiving so the relationship could be restored that he wanted so badly. Bitterness is an unresolved forgiveness. Some of you are mad at somebody from 40 years ago. Haven't talked to him 30, 40, 50 years. 20 years, 10 years. Well, they said something I'm not ever going to forget. No wonder you're so angry all the time. Blessings cause you to get right with your brother. Jacob had to right his wrong with his brother to keep the blessing of God. You'll find out something about God. You don't make deals with him. You got to do the pay the price first. By the way, if you read chapter 33, not right now, Esau already forgave Jacob. Esau received Jacob and Jacob's family with open arms. Everything was going to be fine. Jacob didn't know that. Esau was just glad to get his brother back. Forgiveness keeps the offended from getting bitter, and the wrongdoer's actions don't matter. I hate to say this. Everybody look at me. Esau was probably the better man in both of this situation here. But him being the better man allowed for Jacob to get the blessing God wanted him to have. Boy, that's a good statement. God's blessing caused Jacob to get right with his brother. Jacob didn't strut around like a banty rooster saying, look at me, look at me. He sheepishly walked up to his brother and said, can we get this straightened out and get right? Listen to this next statement. Getting right with God allows you to get right with people. When you're not right with people, you're not right with God. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse number 7. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, what's the next word? Knoweth not God. For God is love. Look at me. When there is a strain in a love relationship, husband, wife, parent, child, friend to friend, brother, sister, you name it, any love relationship, when there's a strain in it, one or both aren't right with God. I'm not afraid to make this statement. I've been in the ministry long enough to make it, and I have some authority. I've never counseled a marriage that was struggling to where both people were right with God. Never. Now, there are some people in a love relationship that won't get right. You can't do anything about it other than make yourself right. And let the chips fall where they may on those that won't. But you make sure your relationship is right. You make sure the door's open for them to walk back too. That door's open to my friends. That door's open to my enemies. You say, why? Because this relationship's right, I can make any relationship right. It doesn't mean I can fix every situation. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be received the way I want to be received, but I can be right with God, saying, God, if they were to come back, I'd restore it. There are some that hate God and hate you. You're not going to change them. But you don't have to be bitter with them. You have to leave the door open. I didn't say you have to send them gifts and call them every day and text them every day and email them and everything else. No, it means you leave the door open and available. And if they do come around, forgiveness is already given. Right relationships are a walking with God thing. When I've got a brother and a sister or two brothers that are fussing, I've got a husband and a wife, I'll look at them and say, okay, how's your walk with God? You say, why? Because obviously it's not right. Anytime, my wife and I have been married over 37 years. We have not raised our voices at one another. Have we disagreed? Every day. I think everybody ought to get up 4:30, quarter to 5. She doesn't think that. You say, do you wake up grumpy? No, I let her sleep. I'm one of those people, get up, I'm ready to get going, talk, do whatever. Don't talk to her for the first 30 or 45 minutes. My daughter and my grandkids, same way. So I leave the house, get some work done until they're ready to talk. Doesn't bother me. I don't expect everybody to live the way I do, but may I say something? Just because we disagree doesn't mean we've got to yell and scream and holler about it. Anytime I get to that point where I feel frustrated like that, I always get alone and say, okay, where am I not right with you? Because this isn't right. This has got to be off. And I'm not blaming her. I'm blaming me. Where am I not right? Because I'm feeling this way. Everybody doing okay? Jacob caused the breakup 20 years earlier. Not until he got right with God did he fix it. Number 3. Whew, I gotta hurry. Jacob's blessing outlived him and is still going today. Did you hear what I just said? Jacob's blessing outlasted him and is still going today. There are some blessings that are generational. Not all, and all of them, look at me, have to be earned by each generation. Young people, just because your parents are Christians doesn't mean you're going to be a good Christian. Means you have a responsibility to be a good Christian and a better Christian than your parents. Somebody one day said about my son Josh, oh, he's going to pass you up one of these days. I hope he does. I hope my son sees more people saved and gets to do more things in the ministry than I ever thought possible of doing. Say what? I gave him all the opportunities. He should. Everybody doing okay? He said, doesn't that bother you? No, I'm not in competition. Everybody doing all right? From this point on in Genesis chapter 32, the Hebrew people were called Israel. To this day, when you say the name Israel, in Hebrew it is the word Jacob, which is Jacob. You see, when the name Israel is in the news, they're talking about Jacob. And the Israelis still enjoy the blessing of God because God blessed Jacob there. The more the struggle for the blessing, the more the possibility to carry it on from generation to generation. Listen to me very carefully. I mentioned Brother Elswick a little while ago when he graduated from high school, valedictorian of his class, going to Bible college, gave up a scholarship to WVU to play basketball. The Bible I took to Bible college that got me through Bible college in the first 2 years of the ministry. I wrote a note in it and I handed it to him graduation night. I was talking to him this week and he said, Brother Bush, I still got your Bible. He said, I look at it all the time. He said, anytime I get down, I open it up and read what you wrote in it. He said, when the ministry gets tough, I open it up and he said, it gets me through. My son Josh, when he was ordained in Kentucky, I had a Bible that Brother Hiles gave me, signed by him. I signed, wrote him a note, asked Brother Fugit to sign that Bible, and that night I gave Josh my ordination Bible when he was ordained. You say, why, preacher? That's something I'm handing a blessing to another generation to. My son-in-law was ordained. I gave him one of my special Bibles that I had used and used and used and used. He still has. Wait a minute. I said, what is that? Well, I've got a couple grandkids. They're going to see Pawpaw's Bible one of these days. I've got my grandfather's, both of my grandfather's, both of my grandmother's, and my mama's Bible in my office. I'd go to my grandpa Bush's Bible and pull it out and read in his own handwriting where he got saved and how it took place. I can read in that same Bible the year he gave up chewing, which was 47 years ago, this coming week when I preached my first sermon. I got done preaching and he took me back and opened up his duffel bag and pulled out about three or four packs of mail pouch. Handed it to the preacher and said, if my grandson's going to be a preacher, I can't do this anymore, and gave it up. I've got that written in his own handwriting. I want to hand my grandkids, my children, a church that's standing right for another generation. May I say something, Grace Baptist Church, you don't have to change when this old preacher leaves. You find you an old-fashioned, leather-long, independent, doctrinally right preacher and let him skin you alive for a while. God never promises a generational blessing, but watch this. He does promise following generations the same kind of blessing if they'll keep obeying it. Amen. So we could pass the blessing along. Are you willing to wrestle all night and walk away hobbling to get the blessing of God? It's going to cost you something. Say, preacher, I want a great blessing. Hang on. Before you say that, are you willing to pay the price to get it? Because those big blessings come at a time of great distress. And they're going to cost you. You're going to have a reminder of it every day of your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. God says of Jacob, and he blessed him there. Where? Where he wrestled. Where his thigh went out of place. Where the sinew in his joint was shrunk. And he hobbled every step for the rest of his life. Maybe you need to get right with somebody. Maybe you need to forgive yourself.